Now, I want to let you know, Gloria, I want to eat your brains for knowledge, okay? And Medic, I'm going to drink your blood, okay?
Okay.
Sydney, I'm going to eat your flesh. So that I can get some of that muscle you got.
Okay.
Now, if I told you all this, you'd think I was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, if I said I was going to drink your blood, you'd probably think I'm Dracula. You know, the words we say every day go run the gamut of either very intelligent or on the other end of the spectrum, it would be clear lunacy. Now, Jesus teaches at times are hard to accept to the physical ear. Some people would call that lunacy. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. But to the spiritual heart, it is the welcome teachings of truth. Because you see, Jesus was one way. He was truthful. He wasn't deceitful or wishy-washy like we tend to be at times. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 6. And when you get there, we're going to start at verse 25. And the title of my lesson today is, Who Can Understand and Listen to the Truth? Starting in verse 25, it says, When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you were looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to the work God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe on the one he has sent. Goodness. Selfish people, I tell you. You know, people are flocking to Jesus to get their earthly needs met like a gimme guide. Gimme bread, gimme money, gimme food. Gimme, gimme, gimme. How many times do you think he got frustrated like this? Oh, gosh, I got to go through this again with these people. You know, these people were not seeking to be spiritually filled and relieved of their spiritual hunger. You know, Jesus gave them spiritual statements, but they turned those statements into motives, their selfish-centered motives, I should say. You know, many people use religion, which, by the way, is man-made, because there's only two not acknowledged in the Bible, Gentile or Jew. But anyhow, man uses this to gain prestige, comfort, or even political votes. I mean, these people are self-centered. But the true believers who follow Jesus, they simply follow him because they know he has the truth and his way is the true way to live. Many sincere lookers for God are puzzled about what he wants them to do, whereas the religions are humankind's attempts to answer the question. You know, I've got the miracle cure. You do this, you'll be on your way to heaven. You know, everything but the truth. But Jesus' reply is brief and simple. We must believe on him who God has sent. You see, satisfying God does not come from the work we do. We do works, but we do them from whom we believe. That belief is the basis for our works. When we believe in that truth guides us in how we do things. You know, the first step is accepting that Jesus is he who he claims to be. You know, declare to Jesus on a daily basis, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and embark on a life of belief that is satisfying to your Creator. Now, going on to verse 30, it says, So they asked him, What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives to the world. Sir, they said, from now on give us this bread. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and you still do not believe. All that the Father gives will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not only to do my will, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. You know, Jesus starts this passage by telling them now how to get bread from heaven. And then they told Jesus to give them the spiritual bread, thinking that they would never physically go hungry. You know, people do eat bread to satisfy physical hunger and to sustain physical life. We can satisfy physical hunger and sustain spiritual life only by a right relationship with Jesus. No wonder he called himself the bread of life. And Christ must be invited into our daily walk to sustain spiritual life. You know, Jesus did not work independently of God the Father, but in union with him. This should give us even more assurance of being welcomed into God's presence and being protected by him. Because he did God's work, he said God's words. Jesus' purpose was to do the will of God, not only to satisfy Jesus' human desires. As a matter of fact, when we follow Jesus, we should have the same purpose as he did. Jesus said he would not lose even one person whom the Father had given him. Thus, anyone who makes a sincere commitment to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior is securing God's promise of eternal life. You know, Christ will not let his people be overcome by Satan and lose their salvation. Those who put their faith in Christ will be resurrected from physical death to eternal life when Christ comes again. Now, going on in with verse 41, it says, at this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue, sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Wow, Jesus emphasizes quite a few times, I am the bread of life. You know, that's a bold statement. As a matter of fact, Jesus has 7 statements of I am. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the light. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection, the way, and the true vine. Those are the 7 names that you see of Jesus in the Gospel of John. Now, when John says Jews, he's referring to the Jewish leaders who are hostile towards Jesus, not to Jews in general. You see, John himself was a Jew, and so was Jesus. The religious leaders grumbled because they could not accept Jesus' claim of divinity. I mean, after all, they saw him as only a carpenter from Nazareth. You know, they refused to believe that Jesus was God's divine son, and they could not tolerate his message. And the thing is, it's all because of what they saw. They saw a man that worked hard. They saw the human part of Jesus. They saw his human father and his human mother. But they were not getting the message. Many people reject Christ. I'm sorry. Many people reject Christ because they cannot believe that he is the Son of God. In reality, the demands that Christ makes for their loyalty and obedience are what they can't accept. You know, they can't accept that they have to be loyal and obedient to God, to whom they can see. So to protect themselves from the message, they reject the messenger. You know, you've heard the phrase, don't shoot the messenger. Well, at this point, they're ready to shoot him. They're ready to kill him. God, not man, plays the most active role in salvation. When someone chooses to believe in Jesus as Savior, he or she does only as the Savior. He or she does so in only response to the urging of God's Holy Spirit. God is the one who does the urging in us. God's the one who gives us that urge. And then it's up to us and we decide whether we want to believe or don't believe. Because no one can believe in God without God's help. I'm going to say that again. No one can believe in Jesus without God's help. Jesus was in verse 45, when he said, it is written in the prophets, they will be all taught by God. That came from Isaiah 54:13. And it's an Old Testament view of the Messianic kingdom in which all people were directly taught by God. He was stressing the importance of not merely hearing, but learning. We are taught by God through the Bible, our experiences, the thoughts of the Holy Spirit, and relationships with other disciples. Question is, are you open to God's teachings? Now, when he talks about believes, as in verse 47, he means continues to believe. You see, we don't merely believe once. Every day, we keep on and on and on believing and trusting in Jesus. It's not a once-forever decision. It's a daily decision. The religious leaders frequently asked Jesus to prove to them why he was better than the prophets they already had. You know, that they thought that the men they had were so superior. What makes this carpenter's son so perfect? Jesus referred to the manna that Moses had given their ancestors in the wilderness. Now, this bread was physical and temporal. I mean, the people ate it and sustained them for a day. But they had to get more bread and more bread every day. And this bread could not keep them from dying. This manna. Jesus, who is much greater than Moses, offers himself as a spiritual bread from heaven that satisfies completely and leads to eternal life. Now, how can Jesus give his flesh to us as bread to eat? Well, to eat living bread means to accept Christ into our lives and become united with Christ in two ways. First off, by believing in his death, which is a sacrifice of his flesh and resurrection. And two, by devoting ourselves to living as he requires of us, not our way of living. Depending on his teachings for guidance, not our own. And trusting in the Holy Spirit for power. Going on to verse 53, and I know we're going through a lot, but I hope you guys are getting a good message so far. Mm-hmm. Verse 53, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue of Capernaum. You know, I apologize to those of you who have said, I'm going to eat your brains, I'm going to drink your blood, and I'm going to eat your flesh. But, you know, Jesus was telling the Jesus was able to tell the truth because he was the one that came down from heaven as a living sacrifice. Now, this was a shocking message to them, and to eat flesh and drink blood sounded kind of cannibalistic in their minds. I mean, the idea of drinking any blood, let alone human blood, was repugnant to the religious leaders because, as it's written in the book of Leviticus, the law forbade it for us not to drink. They don't want us to drink blood. Now, again, this is man's rule saying you shouldn't drink the blood. So that's why they're so repelled when Jesus says, drink my blood. Now, Jesus wasn't talking about literal blood, of course. He was saying that his life had become theirs. His life had to become theirs. But the fact is, they could not accept this concept. You know, we use the body and blood imagery in talking about communion. We're going to jump down to verse 60. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble or offend you?" Wait a minute. Jesus asked this question when he was teaching the truth. Does this offend you or does it cause you to stumble? Interesting. What if you were to see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." You know, the fact is the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual life. He gives us the new life that we seek. Without the works of the Holy Spirit, we cannot even see our need for new life. All spiritual renewal begins and ends with God. He's the one that reveals the truth to us. He lives with us, and then he enables us to respond to that truth. In finishing this chapter up, it says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He meant Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. Why did Jesus' words cause many of his followers to desert him? First off, they may have realized that he wasn't going to be the conquering Messiah they expected. Two, he refused to give in to their self-centered requests. You know, Jesus was about other people, not self. Three, he emphasized faith, not deeds. Four, his teachings were difficult to understand to some, and some of his words were offensive and even considered controversial. As we grow in our faith, we may be tempted to turn away because Jesus' lessons are difficult. Will your response be to give up, to ignore certain teachings, or to reject Christ? Instead, ask God to show you what the teachings mean and how they apply to your life. Then have the courage to act on God's truth. Because there's no middle ground with Jesus. Either you believe in him or you don't. It's that plain and simple. So when he asked the disciples if they would also leave, He was showing them they could either accept or reject him. You know, Jesus gives that same question to us on a daily basis. Are we going to accept him or reject him? That's why we have to make the decision on a daily basis. Jesus was not trying to repel people with his teachings. He was simply telling the truth. The more people Jesus heard Jesus' real message, the more they divided into two camps. You had the honest seekers who wanted to understand more, and those who rejected Jesus because they didn't like what they heard. After many of Jesus' followers had deserted them, he asked the 12 disciples if they were also going to leave. Now Peter replied, "To whom shall we go?" Now Peter was straightforward in his answers, and he answered for all of us, "There is no other way." Though there are many philosophies and self-styled authorities, Jesus alone has the words of eternal life. You got people looking everywhere for eternal life and miss Christ. They totally miss him, which is the only source. So stay with him, especially when you're confused or feel alone. In response to Jesus' message, some people left and others stayed and truly believed. And some, like Judas, stayed but tried to use Jesus for personal gain. And that goes on today. As a matter of fact, many people today turn away from Christ. I mean, other people tend to follow. They pretend to follow. Going to church for status, approval of family and friends, or business contacts. But there are only two real responses to Jesus. You either accept him or reject him. How have you responded? Now, why do you think that most people can't follow or accept Jesus' teachings? Why are they so offensive to people to the point that they reject Jesus? You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak in parables?" So they're trying to get some understanding. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. See, whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. For this people's heart has become hard and calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see. Your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it. And to hear what you hear, but you did not hear it." You see, those that don't believe in Jesus, all they can see is the outside cover of the book. I mean, this Bible's kind of, it's a little tattered, but otherwise, it's a boring cover. But yet inside, we have the word of the truth. We have the life's instructions from God. When he talks about those seeing, they do not see. Anybody can look at the Bible, but to look intently, you really do see. You have an intention to read God's word. He says, "You will never be hearing, but understanding." You know, how many people like music in here? I can hear a song all day, but when I listen, I pick out that either I pay attention to the words, or I pick out that guitar or the drum or the bass. That's when I'm really listening. You know, and he says the people's heart has become calloused because they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. But see, we make that decision on a daily basis. To open our eyes, to see beyond. and we open our ears to hear beyond. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. I would heal them. People make that choice every day. They either choose to see Jesus and his teachings or reject them. They choose to listen to his teachings because they hear, or they reject him. You know, they can either understand with their hearts or feed their brains and reject them. You know, in speaking in parables, Jesus was not hiding the truth from sincere seekers, because those who were receptive to the spiritual truth understood the illustrations. So people understood what Jesus meant when, I am the bread of life. If you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you think about the human body. The blood is steadily flowing in you. The body is something solid to stand with and to do things with. But if we're not strong, we're unable. If we don't have that blood flowing in us, we have no life in us. So that's how Jesus can say, I am the bread of life. And my blood is spirit, is the blood of life. To others, they were only stories of meaning, without meaning. You know, say they heard these teachings of Jesus, blah, 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 blah. What am I supposed to get out of this? You know, this allowed Jesus to give spiritual food to those who hungered for it, while preventing enemies from trapping him sooner than they might have always done. You see, Jesus' times of teachings are very hard to accept to the physical ear, but to the spiritual heart, it is welcome teachings of truth. You know, we know that Jesus is one way. He was truthful, never deceitful or wishy-washy like we are. And this sermon is probably one of the more offensive sermons. It is offensive to the lay ear because they merely hear. Flesh and blood, they do not hear the spiritual nourishment that oozes from these words. As we leave today, let us not look, but see. Let us see more intently. Let us not just hear, let us listen more intently. And finally, let us not merely perceive, but let us seek to understand. Thank you. To God be the glory.